good time for us to remember tonight Marge Lotus and Patty Miller, who together in their friendship conceived this retreat more than 30 years ago, and who guided it through its first decades. And I mention them just to honor their memory and to wish that they could be with us tonight. They're still with us and they're praying for us in these days. But it was especially Marge who had the vision of the patterns of this retreat, the people who would gather and the kind of teaching that would be offered, and who believed in the kind of fruits, unpredictable and out of our control, as I said earlier, that could come from it. And one of the things that Marge had insisted on from the start was the way we spend our Saturday evenings, with me reading poetry. And I wasn't more than 5 years into the retreat before I was trying to get out of that. And she kept on saying, no, we have to have that. And it's varied in various ways throughout the years. And I feel, in a sense, more pressured about how shall we spend Saturday night than I do for preparing conferences. Mm-hmm. Not really, but to some extent, because, you know, I was writing poetry a lot in around the time when the retreat began, and I have stopped, not because I wanted to, but because the circumstances in my life changed and it didn't happen. I had a lucky period where I was writing a lot of poetry and several publishers found me and they liked it and it got out there and that was fun. And I read from those poetry books and then it had a second life in my book, Amongst Alphabet. And those of you that have been coming for a long time have heard of those different things. But I suppose the connection with my reading some poetry tonight would be with the way, I wish I could still write poetry. I suppose I could if I had the time or circumstances were different. I don't want to lament about that scene. But I suppose the connection with this retreat and ever having written poetry was something that I have said several different times, and that is how carefully we should deal with the words of Scripture and how seriously we should take the fact that these words are written by human beings writing, and that whole deeply human process of an author choosing words and loving words and constructing his story this way, that is the human experience that the Holy Spirit has used to produce the divine word and the inspired word. And that is another instance of the mystery of incarnation. The mystery of incarnation is that the eternal word, and to say that is already poetry, that's a name for what God is, the eternal word expresses himself in a human life. That's what the mystery of incarnation is. And the miracle of incarnation is that the infinite being of God has adequately and successfully and fruitfully expressed the entire being of God in a finite word. And I think that then when we take up, that's what God is in Jesus incarnate on earth doing all the things that Jesus did and said, culminating, of course, in his death and resurrection. And the words of Scripture all talk about that. And human authors constructed that. And so a sensitivity to poetry increases our sensitivity to receive the word. And with that apologia, with that explanation, which I think Marge had a deep instinct around, I'll read you some poems tonight, and then we will sing with Julie Hoy's help. We will sing words. And singing words, of course, expands them. Singing words is putting air into your flesh. Or to say that with the language of Trinity, singing is putting spirit into flesh. And so the Lord in creation prepared already the pattern of his incarnation, which would be an exponential raising of what we humans do already. We take in breath and talk, and a word comes out. Or you get really concentrated and you take in breath and sing, and beauty comes out. And that's the incarnation. The Holy Spirit, Mary takes in breath, and the Divine Son comes out. So once that's happened, every word carefully uttered matters and can partake in that mystery. And at the suggestion of one of you who's been here many years and to whom I said, I don't know what I can read. I mean, I've read all this stuff before. And he said, read that book. This is my book called The Night of St. John. And this is 25 years ago published, so it's old stuff, and it makes me feel old. But this was a book that a bookmaker and several other people, and Marge was very much involved in this, said, I like your poems a lot, and I want to make a physically beautiful book that will alert the reader to just take everything carefully. And so my friend said to me, just read from that book, and that's what I'm going to do for a while. The pattern tonight will be, let me use Luke's word, the sequence tonight will be, I'll read, Julie will sing, I'll read a bit more, and Julie will finish us with singing. The first poem of this book of mine, published in 1989, the title of the book is The Night of St. John, and the first poem is called Writing Poetry. I was walking on a hill against a strong wind, and there suddenly realized that it was the wind itself that was making this happen. The wind hit my body and bowed it like a sail and pushed a boatload of sentences through me. But on top of them all were left a few bright and breezy words. The poem. House. Clue to hearing it. I won't say much about them. One day I heard the word house and I thought, isn't that a lovely word? Where will it go? House. House. House with a jug on the porch, with leaves overshadowing the chimney, with the door and with the windows, and then house where a sweet lady appears in passing a window and disappears, and from where smoke rises, from the house where she tells the children a story far larger than the world. In her house, far larger than the world. Each day, dawn, I interrupt myself, a clue. Dawn reminds me of God. Let me start again. Each day. Dawn, with tremendous courtesy, begins to break the darkness all apart. Roosters scream the desperate plight of the conquered night. Which night is surely, if slowly, undone. Not accused by the light, nor abused by its might. Simply removed by the light. Slowly, courteously. Totally. Each day. Reminds me of God. Concert. This for me is an oblique image of Christ. As the conductor of a band of musicians. Concert. The trumpet man and the cello lady are ready to blow and pull whatever sounds the conductor says. And the flute man and the violin lady wait for the sign that will let them join. Oh, wondrous and careful obedience, joyful readiness for saving sounds. When his hand says, then sound out for all of us a good sweet beat and a true pure sound. Pull the notes that will stir the sea within. Find the chords that make the planets spin. Blend the sighs of the gracefully dying with rhythms from the upper air. Watch your conducting man. Watch his hand. For he was there when the mountains were made. And he knew the time when the color had sound. The hand that moves your music is the hand that moves the stars. sudden breeze. This is a poem about the Annunciation without the theological and scriptural language. But it's everywhere. Annunciation is everywhere. Sudden breeze. Across water like glass, a fast and sudden wind races. In two directions, almost the same, a flash of ripples. An angel slicing the waters of the pond, delivering a message to the bottom. Fast again to heaven returned, the waters all smooth, the earth blessed. Kite. Kite like you fly on a string. But this poem has a twin, and it's followed by Kite Loose, Volume 1 and Volume 2. They each stand on their own, but if you know them both, maybe they work a little better together. Clue. Why do we fly kites? What? Why would you do that? I mean, it is a bit of bother. Or, what's it mean? I call my kite a frail household. And I'm singing to my kite. Kite. Frail household, going up over the sea, I follow you. This string is my body unwinding and able to go high. The wind and a little house made of paper. Take me. We have the sky when I cut the string. Ah, we are forever out over the sea. We are forever upward. Kite loose. Days of flying have tired them. Kite and string. 3 windy days passed, they were let go over the sea. The last catchers of sunset light. The first seers of new-turned day. The only flyers in the night's salty sky. And now, weakened by adventure, kite splinters in the sky. And string lays herself weakly and meekly down over 900 feet of the sea. This string was my body unwinding and able to go high. ascension. I'm thinking of what Jesus did. Mine is the view a bird might have. For I am on a hill, and the wind hits me good. It's blowing, holds me high. I stay here, taking the valley with my eyes. And I see other birds below me. I see people have cut the wheat. Its golden stubble could make a glorious home for me. Its entire color bounces through me, and I feel the roll of the land. I go higher. I want to go up beyond all stars. I will take the golden color with me. I will take the memory of the rolling land. Evening walk. A long dry pine needle slips between your foot and your sandal. You take it for a while, and then you bend down to take it out. Your companions continue on, and though you see them and hear them still, you are alone for a mighty moment in a great flash of peace. Evening song. I saw this in Switzerland in the long summer, when Abbot Bonaventure sent me there to be near Engelberg, our mother house. The mountain man made hay all day with the luck of the autumn sun. And as night falls, his daughter's already asleep, his wife awaiting him at the door, he sings this prayer from the steep hillside. Holy this ground, holy this mountain, holy the air in a circle around it. Ring of gold from the starry sky comes settling down in a circle around us and make holy the mountain, holy the night. Julie, can you see?
Together the song on the piece of paper, which met you.
And I didn't get one. Are there any around?
So some of you may know that I did not write this song. It's a Hillsong piece that has been ruminating, to use a word, in my brain on this retreat. So let's sing this together. It's quite simple. Thank you. What a privilege and a great blessing it is to be able to hang out with you guys here on the hill. I love, as always, that, I'm a little like John and Peter. Is it Jackie? Is that right? Yeah, where we don't know much, but we know Jesus. And I love that I can ask you any question, no matter how rudimentary, and you make me feel smart. So thank you again for that. There are a few things that stood out to me. Not that everybody doesn't have those, but I get the opportunity to share with you. The word midrash. I'd never heard that before. And I can't do anything else except mix everything up. So I think that one works for me. Schadenfreude?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Schadenfreude, you remember that one? Mm-hmm. Getting joy at someone else's expense? I'm pretty good at that one.
Yeah.
I like that one. The fact that Matthias
mm-hmm.
was the original 12th man. Being a Seahawks fan, that's kind of a big deal.
That's good, isn't it?
Blasphemy.
I'm sorry, who are you rooting for?
And for them, it was just an opportunity.
Well, I'm sure it is blasphemy, but I'm getting used to lightning. Somebody and I were talking about when you get used to lightning, it just doesn't hit you the same anymore. So, I did, the last thing that really stood out to me, not the last thing, certainly not the only thing, was monks for lunch. And so I spent a little time in the car yesterday and wrote a little something called Monks for Lunch.
Oh, good.
It's very short, no worries. Monks for lunch. Monastery monks for lunch. They're a sacrificial bunch here, dining with the likes of me. Monks for lunch. Well, I've got a hunch with monastery monks. We're eating hospitality.
Very nice.
I hope that's okay with you.
No, no, I want you to sing that again at the end.
More.
I'll have no trouble getting them to come next year. If
Good. It was such a treat. Well, speaking of joy, I having Brother Bede at the table the other night, he was so sweet with our table and so just forthcoming with all of his thoughts and ideas in the life of where how far he's come. And one thing he said that struck me was that he couldn't dance. Mm-hmm. Not that he can't dance, but that he shouldn't dance. And I came to you and said, is that true? Can you guys not dance? And you let me know in no uncertain terms that you certainly can, just don't do it in a nightclub. I think basically that was your answer. Any pictures coming out of something like that. There's joy in the dancing, peace in understanding that God has a way, a path for us to follow where there's joy in the dancing. That there can be joy in religious life. I think that is such an inspiration and such a out. The world needs to know that there is joy in religious life and that vocations are so important for all of us. You inspire me to find joy in every syllable, you know. Can I tell you about a joyful friend of mine?
Of course.
Sister Immaculata Knox. I was presenting a class in Orlando in April and was sharing about the Pharisees and how they dragged the poor woman before Jesus and wanted to stone her. And I wrote a little song about that. It was inspired by that moment in Scripture. And I got this vision in my brain of the Pharisees showing up that day with pockets full of rocks. So this song is called Pocket Full of Rocks. And it goes like this. Okay. Well, Sister Immaculata, sitting in the front row of my class, shoots up like a bullet and turns around to everyone in her Irish accent and says, "And you know what happened next?" And everybody says, "No." And she said, "Well, the Pharisees dragged this poor woman before Jesus, and they won't stone her." And Jesus says, "Well, let he who is without sin cast the first." And a stone come out of nowhere and hit the woman square in the head. And Jesus turned around and said, "Come on, Mom, give me a drink." Well, who shall cast the first? Who shall cast the first? Woman forever. She's 80 years old now, taught kindergarten for 54 years with joy in her heart, and still serves the people there in her community in Florida. But speaking of the Blessed Mother, this is how I'll end my little portion, if that's okay, with a song for her.
Yeah.
Let me just make sure I'm tuned. It's my gift to you. I must say, this was inspired by a moment with you years ago. I don't know if you remember, but I found a rosary in that twirly box in the gift shop.
Yeah.
It was probably 1995 or 6. And I had never owned a rosary for any purpose at that moment. And saw it, was drawn to it, and the scriptural rosary book, brought it to you and said, "What do I do with this?" And you said, I'll never forget it, you said, "I think the rosary would be very good for you." I'm still ruminating on that one. But I took it home, and the morning after I said that scriptural rosary for the first time, this song was in my heart, and I wrote it that day. Stringed instruments are horrible. Thinking to say no.
to be a sign to be rejected. As I pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, I see Jesus hang so high upon the cross.
So just a few more poems, and then Julie will take us out. I want to read you a poem called Saying Goodbye. We've all experienced difficult goodbyes. They are a significant part of life. Let's notice in them the pattern of suffering so as to enter into glory. Last evening, the sky was gold at sunset where there was a crack in the clouds. And when the plane you were on roared into the sky behind me, my whole body pulled skyward after you, but not nearly fast enough to ever catch a glimpse of you again today or to touch you from behind, even barely. Instead, I was pulled earthward as well and cracked like the clouds as the great gold sun of the air came between my earthly and skyward parts and burned light forever into me. Light forever from the split of your going away. Moon Swoon. This is a love song for someone who's in other time zones on the other side of the world. And you and I go up toward the moon, so still the night, so graced, so utterly bathed in light, utterly pure good night. and you so far away from me. How good it would be to look on you and see your shining eyes loving me. But mountains and plains and even an ocean stand between such, oh, I need it, your looking. And so that you and I are up toward the moon, mistress, point of reference high enough in the sky to hang our looking on. You, I see. You, I touch. You, it is who bathe me in utterly pure, good light. Engelberg. This is the monastery in Switzerland that founded us. The monastery was founded in 1120 and has had a continuous existence since then. And I spent a number of weeks there a number of times. It's in the Alps, surrounded by mountains. Engelberg. Ages and ages of moons hitting these mountains. Snows shining through millions of nights. The human time here, 1,000 years, or at the most, maybe two. And yet, of these years, I am here, this one night, and the moon and the mountains seem mine. A wise, warm wind rushes night now through these valleys. It makes me think, I can put a prayer on the wind and send it up over the long hills. And so I pray. Snows, wonder with me about the maker of moon and mountains and my wide eyes. Turn with me, spin with me this one night more round, and let me pass with you on the pointed peaks this turn, this time being hit by moon and stars. The prayer goes. The prayer is sent. And then, wait, wind, I say, take this one more word up high. Snows, say with me, maker, make me white. Maker, make me pure. Maker, make me light. And this is my last poem, and it's a prayer. And it's called Monk's Cell. That's the traditional room for the monk's room. The traditional word for the monk's room, the monk's cell. The first word of the poem is tenderness, but to help the reader pronounce it very carefully, I've written it on three lines. Ten-der-ness. Tenderness, okay? But it's like musical notes, okay? So let's hear that word, tenderness, okay? This is how a monk prays in his cell at night. Monk's cell. Tenderness while I rest. and all goodly hope beside me. Julie?
The song I'd like to close with, and hope it's okay with you. About 2 weeks ago, I got an email from Telemann, and I hadn't heard from her ever, I don't think. And she said, Julie, she told me about her situation. She said, that song you sang last year, you had the Holy Spirit come to me. You handed out those cards, and means a lot. Every day and every night, I'm looking at it. And she said, could you possibly bring me another to this retreat? So I brought one for everyone, just in case you might need it. So I'll sing just a little verse beforehand, and then we'll go into this song.
Spirit, be with us, bring healing for the soul. Reveal to us the God who loves and longs to see us whole. Oh, Spirit, please teach us that we might understand. His everlasting love, oh, bring to us the love that heals the soul.
Spirit, come to me. Good night, and God bless you all.